Afternoon.
Great. How about you, brother?
Doing good. Doing good. Glad I was given another opportunity to bring the word to you. And any opportunity I'm given, I'm willing to do. Amen. To be a servant. And certain things I was trying to decide within myself about how I present things. But I was going to change up things. But at the end of the day, it's not to please people. It's to please God. So I can't really switch up what God has put in me, because then I'll just be sounding brass. Amen. So, and I don't want to be that, because a lot of people do it and it gets them nowhere. And when God doesn't use you anymore, it's ineffective. And you're like salt with no saltiness. You should be discarded. So I would like to ask you a question today. Is I have two different titles, and you could choose either one you want. Do you know your shepherd? Or the first one is, do you know who your shepherd is? And the second one is, are you sheep without a shepherd? Because at the end of the day, when you read it, and I've chose a very simple verse that probably all of us know, all of us remember it, probably used to recite it all the time, Psalms 23. And when you ask yourself, I ask you this to really think for a moment, because when you look at sheep, and no one is there to keep them from running off, they get lost or they get eaten. Let's look at Psalms 23, the first verse. That's once again at Psalms 23, the first verse. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you read this, you got to know who was writing, who was the author of it. David was basically saying to the people to let him know, the Lord is his shepherd, he shall not want. And when you learn about this David, you really have to understand what a shepherd is. You really have to know what a shepherd job is and what it does and what it entails. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. And again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 16. 16 verses 10 and 11. When you get to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, it says, and Jesse made several of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all these your sons? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping sheep. So he was very, as a young man, he understood what it was to be a shepherd. He understood what it was to be a leader. He understood what the role was, because he had to be in charge of the sheep. And this is King David he's talking about. The youngest, not the oldest. He was the youngest of the kids who was in charge of this. He was the youngest one that was keeping the sheep. And then when you go to 1 Samuel verses chapter 17, verses 33 through 36, once again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 33 through 36. And this is right before he's about to go fight the Philistines. This is what basically he understood. He understood what it was, because when you read, if you read further, when you go home and read more of it, I'm not going to read all, I'm just going to read the bottom portion of it. And it says, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm starting at verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. See, to the eyes, he couldn't really understand what God had in store. Amen. He couldn't really understand who was a shepherd, who was in charge, who was running things, because he was looking at us like, this is a kid. There's no way he can go feed Goliath or the Philistines. At the end of the day, he's nothing. But see, David understood who the shepherd was, the head shepherd.
That's all right.
And it says, when you continue to read, it says, and he has been a man of war from his youth. So he knew what Goliath was. Goliath was a killer. Amen. From his youth. That's all he did was kill, destroy, and that's what his purpose on life was to do. Right. And that's why the Philistine chose him. And when you read about the Philistines, he was one of their greatest warriors. He was the one that went and did people. He was a shot caller, basically. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. Back to that reference. He learned to keep sheep. he learned to keep order, because you can't have anybody just be a shepherd. You can't have any sheepdog be work for a shepherd. Because if you got a sheepdog that don't understand something, the sheep gonna run off. I have seen some sheepdogs that you ain't even got to speak to. They hold up hand signs and they know, go corral the sheep. They went too far. Go get them. Isn't a church, we should understand these things too when we read the word. Because when you have an understanding of the word, you won't have a problem loving, going to seek the lost. This is not about me. This is about what the Bible's going to tell you. And I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to show you what it means. Okay. And it says, he used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came in lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him. This is after a lion and a bear. He goes after them. Mm-hmm. We can use this for ourselves. Do we go after those people in the world? Because they're fierce. They're like a lion and a bear. They'll cut you up and cut you down. They'll tear you to pieces. But this is what he did, because he knew who his shepherd was. He was committed. The commitment comes in. And he says, I went after him and struck him and delivered out of his mouth. And if he rose up against me, I caught him with his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. So at the end of the day, when we see people doing the church and saying the church wrong, do we stand by? Do we join in? Or do we stand up for what is right? Because this is part of becoming a good servant. We are sheep. We have the great shepherd. Because when you read, see, David knew who his shepherd was and what he could do. We heard it today, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthen me. Amen. We can make excuses all day. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Well, who's your shepherd? Mm. Because you really need to think about this. Because if you ain't got the right shepherd, you're right. You can't do it. Yeah, you're right. You won't do it. Yeah. Because your mindset has already defeated you. Mm. At the end of the day, you really need to rethink who's your shepherd. Because like I said, there's only two choices, Satan or God. You lukewarm, he spews you out. So at the end of the day, who's your shepherd? See, today, do we know who our shepherd is? Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. Once again, that's John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. And this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for us. It says this, the Jews answered him, are you not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They were calling Jesus, said he had a demon in him. So when they say something about us in a church, it shouldn't affect us. Mm-hmm. This is a man who died on the cross for us. Wow. They even try to say John the Baptist was greater than him. Read your Bible and you will find out. But they said he had a demon. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you keep my words, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Because they said you must be crazy. Because you got to understand, they didn't want to change their train of thought. They were still with that old school thinking. Some of us here at the church is with that old school thinking. We don't want to change our train of thought. We don't want to conform. We want to be, I was taught this way, and you can't teach me nothing else. Just like these people in the Bible. They were taught one way, and they thought they were right. See, me and my father always have conversations all the time. My father's 76 years old. We talk all the time. And sometimes he'd be like, boy, that ain't right. I say, let's open up the word and see what it has to say. After that, there's no more arguments. There's no more talking. It's just you're right. And it's not me that's right. It's God that's right. That's it. See, sometimes we're taught one way. Like my mom say, you're stuck in your ways. And you need to change that. Because if you're stuck in your ways, there's no hope for you. Because if somebody teach you something, don't mean that it's right. Did you go study it? That's right. Because at the end of the day, when you study in school, they teachers only get you so far. You have to pick up that math book, that history book yourself, and do the rest. Because if you don't study, you're not going to learn anything. Study thyself or self-approval. Work may not be ashamed. Rightly divide the truth. That's telling you to pick up this Bible and not just listen to what I'm saying, but study it for yourself. Amen. And get a true understanding of what's going on. Because I can go quote scriptures all day long, but do I know what they truly mean? I can say this man taught me well, but I didn't study anything. So I'm going to fail. And when you keep reading, and it says, we'll never say it. The Jews answered, said, now you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? See, they didn't really understand the concept. They weren't studying. They were taught one way and said, this is what we're going to stick with. We're not going to do nothing in the church because this is what we're going to stick with. We're going to sit here and not have no joy with us because this is what we're going to stick with. We're not going to do nothing because this is what we're going to stick with. That's not right. Read your Bible and you'll have understanding. Who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make greater than our father Abraham died? Who do you make greater than yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. He understood that. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If you were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do not know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. So Abraham knew who Jesus was. Abraham knew what it was all about.
Yeah.
Abraham knew he only had a small role. Today, do you know your role?
Good question.
At the end of the day, start thinking about it. Because when you continue to read, he saw it and was glad. Abraham was glad. He knew the bigger picture. Do we know the bigger picture today, church?
Good question.
And it goes on, it says, so the Jews answered him, you are not yet 50 years old. So they was looking at his age again. Mm-hmm. How could you even know who Abraham was, boy? Look, you ain't even nearly old enough to know who he is. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Because he was here before all that. He was here during the creation. He was here before anything. And it said, so they picked up stones to throw at him. So Jesus said, before y'all get a stone at me, because this is y'all tradition,
right.
I'm about to leave. That's what he did.
Good point, brother.
He understood what it was about. He said, it's time for me to go on and kick rocks. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So at the end of the day, they were trying to kill our Lord and Savior, even though he was going to die anyways. It wasn't his time right then and there to die. Because they stoned Stephen. They killed him right then and there. This is what they were trying to do to Jesus because he was causing a little uproar. He wasn't going according to how they felt.
Uh-oh.
Key point, how they felt.
How they felt.
You can feel any way you want to. Let's get into this word and see what tells the truth.
Okay.
You can say, oh, you did this, Brother Baker. Oh, show me in the scriptures. Don't tell me what you think. Show me some word to back up what you're saying. Because you can condemn me. You can feel however you want about me. It ain't going to bother me. Because at the end of the day, I know what the word tells me. The word is going to speak out. You can say you were wrong for doing this. You want show me some scriptures.
Right.
Like they say, don't come unprepared. Come prepared because I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to study this word before I get up here and do a message. When you go back to, let's go back on to Psalms. Because we're trying to understand the shepherd. But we need to go a little bit deeper. It says in verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green. No, not verse 2 yet. See, when you read that, what we just read in John, basically they wanted to go to the old law. They didn't want to confirm. But see, when you know who the shepherd is, and I'm not talking about the elder, I'm not talking about the preacher, but I'm talking about the good shepherd, John chapter 10. Go home and read it.
Yep.
It tells you about the good shepherd. I'm talking about the great shepherd. Okay. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Go home and read it. And I'm also talking about the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 4. Once again, if you didn't get the verses, that's John chapter 10, the great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the chief shepherd. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, the chief shepherd. So you have the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. David understood this. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
That's right.
We shouldn't want for anything if God is our shepherd.
Right.
Now we go to Psalms verse 2. It says, he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. At the end of the day, I have never seen a sheep eating that where the waters is all out of control. I've never seen a sheep eating where there's wolves all around in the field where they're grazing at. Right. Usually a shepherd tries to take a sheep where it's somewhere safe, where the water is calm, the streams are calm. When you see turmoil, that's because we make turmoil within the church. I have never seen a building where they put dynamite on the outside of a building to blow it up. They put it on the inside so it can implode on itself and fall in on the inside. So it won't cause any damage to the outside buildings. Are we all sticks of dynamite trying to put on each corner to make this blow in from the inside? And this is just what is. This is realness. Like I said, I'm not going to change the way I preach because God has not put it on my heart to do that. So at the end of the day, it needs to be real so it can be an understanding. Because at the end of the day, when he says he leads me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm supposed to have peace when I come here. I'm supposed to have love when I come here. I'm supposed to have caring when I come here.
Right.
If God is in charge, the key thing, in charge of each and every one of our lives. Because he understood this. Like I said, you don't see sheep going to eat on some dry, rocky land. I haven't seen those sheep come in this field because it's dead. So we need to understand this. And they sure wouldn't drink no water. They drink some dirt. So we need to understand when we come here to get rejuvenated, to get refilled, to get re-energized.
That's right.
We want to eat from living waters.
Yeah.
We want to have sweet tasting when we come here.
Amen.
Not no bitter taste.
Nope.
Not, oh, here we go again. We want to come here with joy and love because God is supposed to lead us to this. And that's what the understanding we need to get. See, when you read Psalm chapter 2, it shows us how to love. Be kind, joyful, caring for ourselves, but others too. Now let's go down to Psalms, same chapter, same verse, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now you really need to think this. This is David saying what he's doing for him. This is all David. Can we apply this to our life? Is he leading us down a path of righteousness? Or is Satan us leaving down a path of destruction? Because at the end of the day, it's up to us. When you see a sign that say one way, do you still go that one way? It's a man named Titley, big old giant funeral sir, big old Titley Memorial down in San Bernardino. My dad knew the man well. Titley was an old man. He got on the freeway, drove the wrong way, died immediately. But Titley was doing some stuff behind the scenes too. Titley was taking the bodies, taking the jewelry. God catches up with you. It just don't know when, but God catches up with you. After Titley died, all this came to light. 6'7" dude in a casket that's only 6 foot long. Cut his legs off. Did him wrong. Because he wasn't on a path of righteousness. He was on a path of greed. He didn't care about nobody else but himself. He said, I'm going to make it. Not knowing he getting on the freeway entrance going down the wrong way. How many of us think we're going to heaven going the wrong direction? At the end of the day, we really need to examine this word. We really need to get into it, church. When you keep on going down, let's look at when you read verse 3, let's go over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And if God is leading you right, you will understand this. That's again, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. You have heard that it was said to those of the old. This is talking about old now.
Yeah.
You should not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry. Do you understand what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Harmon did a good thing about this morning. If you're angry, how can you be right? Anger with his brother. Are we not all brothers and sisters in here?
Amen.
Will be liable to judgment. Not talking about my judgment. Talking about God's judgment. So you really do understand when you get that little angry, when somebody rub you wrong, when you don't want to hug them and you just want to leave and you don't want to treat them right, you're not angry against me. You're angry against God. Because when I leave from here, I go home to a son that listens to me. I have no problems with telling my son anything. I have no problems with dealing with my son. I have no problems with dealing with my wife. So I don't have no problems that I should be bringing here. My son listens to me. I'm 35 years old and I listen to my father still. Because I want to have a long life. Regardless of what he tell me, Jeremiah, go dig that ditch. I go dig the ditch, but Dad, you know you was wrong for that. It's respect because he has got that from me. My son might say a lot of things, but it's respect. I don't have to go home in turmoil. That's why I said the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. It all comes full circle. I don't have to fight with them. When I was working, they were here at church. I didn't have to tell them, hey, you best be there. Hey, babe, we're just leaving church. You have a good time? I had a great time. At the end of the day, I know who my shepherd is. Because when you're angry with your brother in judgment, keep on, you will be liable to judgment, whoever insult, you be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. So that means if you insult me or do something wrong, you're doing the same thing. You talk about me just because you're in the car talking about me to your family, whoever you're talking to, you're still in the same thing. Y'all think Jesus just walked out the door and just said, I'm going to go over here for 30 minutes while you talk? I'm going to give you a timeout period. I'm going to give you an intermission. No, he's there at all times. See, what we forget is, church, is that we think God turns the light on and off. God is always there. Like that Motel set commercial, the light is always on. Jesus is always present.
Amen. Always.
All the time. So even when you're doing something wrong and thinking, oh, he offended me, he did me wrong, come tell me. Come let me know. Don't talk about me, because you getting yourself in dangers of hell fire.
Amen.
You killing your own soul by letting this flesh come up. You're killing yourself by not trying to retrain the way that you have been. If I can do it, you can do it. I didn't always wasn't up here preaching. No. I was out there telling you how to go get my money for selling some drugs for me. I could easily tell you that. And I could easily get it. But you know what? If I could change my life around from a person that knew the streets, from a person that was raised in a church by my father, and my father said, boy, either you change or you're going to be forced to change. You come without an eye. You come in a wheelchair. You come without a leg. It don't matter, but I have told you. Train up a child in the way he should go. He was old enough, he will not depart. That's Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I went through all this stuff, it caused me a lot of heartache. My dad sat back and said, boy, you ain't doing but killing yourself. You're going to learn because I didn't raise you that way. And some of us say, well, my kids ain't that way. My kids don't do that. If you raise them right, they're going to come back to it. So don't sit up here and say, well, no, it can't happen. That don't apply to me. Well, you're saying the Bible's a lie. Because regardless, my son wasn't around me his whole life. But he's coming full circle. Dad, can I stay with you? Dad, can I be around you? That's nothing but the grace of God, because it ain't nothing what I can do. Because I could go buy him the world. But eventually, I'm going to run out of money. And eventually, the love going to stop. So at the end of the day, he realizes that because his father is a good steward, that he can have anything he wants, because God supplies everything. Everything I have in my house, I tell him, is not Jeremiah's, it's God's. If you're a servant of God, you got all these cards and games and everything is yours. I could do like some of these people. I tell my son all the time, I can leave it to the dogs in the backyard on my wheel. They'll have a good house to walk in, some cars to bite on some seats, and whatever else they want to do. People do it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
If you want to be a proper servant, son, all this is yours. And he understands that. So at the end of the day, let's get back where it says, whoever insults you will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hells of fire. So at the end of the day, this is not me talking. This is the word right here. So if you're angry, think about it. Think before you go out to church mad. Try to make amends. Try to do right. Try to go out with a joyful soul. Now let's get back over, because I'm not going to hold you too much longer. Back over to Psalms, where it says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So when you about to walk through the valley, when you about to go through these hard times, when you about to face death, who is going to be there with you? Is it going to be the devil saying, come on in, faithful servant? Or is it going to be God saying, I'm right here by your side?
Amen.
Because there's a painting, I don't know if you see it, where a guy's on a beach. And there's 4 foot, there's two sets of footprints. First there's four, then there's two. And the man says, God, where were you at? He was like, I was carrying you. And you didn't even know it. Because he was so confused.
Amen.
When God is always carrying us, we just don't understand what and how. But if we let him take control, like we say he's in control, we'll understand. God, thank you for what you put me through. Amen. Job understood it. Because his wife said, curse him and truly die. But he said, you know what? I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to keep going on. Job had some of the most fairest daughters of the land. Job had double what he had because he stayed on God's plan.
Amen.
God has a plan for all of us. We the one that derail the plan because of ourself, because of this flesh. Mm-hmm. Let the spirit take over. Henry tells us in the classes, we can allow it if we let the spirit take control. But we don't want to. We want self to be in control. And that's where we're going to lose heaven. Because of self. Because if Jesus Christ came down here, he could easily be like, I'm enjoying this too much. I really don't want to go to the cross, Father. They could suffer a little bit longer. But you know what he realized? It wasn't about him. What we need to realize, it's about the furthering of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, I want him to be there for me. I don't want Satan waiting for me. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares the table. He sets it up. It didn't say we set it up. God sets it up. So when you look at your enemies, it's not to say, how can I get back at them? Let God do what God gonna do. We so impatient. People say patience is a virtue. You need to find out what it is. You need to get that. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. It says, he will prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It overflows with joy and love and kindness and happiness. And it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David knew what was going to follow him. As long as he stayed with God, he knew what was going to follow him. When David decided to go do this, kill Bathsheba, get Bathsheba and everything else, David had to suffer for that. Because David got into himself. David said, this woman is so beautiful. He said, go and lie with her. You know why he told him to lie with her? Because he knew it was going to make him weak. He was trying to do anything to get this man killed. Go and read the Old Testament. When we play that game on Jeopardy, it's not about who wins or loses. It's about who has the knowledge. If we all come together at church, at least one person in the church should be knowledgeable enough to answer, have an answer. If we come together, we should. When point blank, it should be that way. It shouldn't be we understand the elders are supposed to have knowledge. But if we all come together, we'll be able to get whatever we need. When you see a fist, it's closed, it's stronger. When we come together, people, and answer these questions, it's not to win or lose. It's about knowledge for everyone in here. So when somebody comes to the church, you can be like, brother, I'll take it from here. Sister, I'll take it from here. Because we're going to help them out. Now, you're quoting that verse wrong. You're doing this wrong. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. That's what it means about church. And it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he knew where his home was. Actually, today, do you know who your shepherd is? Do you know where your home is?
Good question.
Do you know where you're going? Can you stop being angry? Can you start showing love? At the end of the day, who's your shepherd? Thank y'all for y'all time. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen.
It's all right, bro.